Western Montana fire officials further ratchet down fire restrictions. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates-Carney, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. And reporter Katrin Fry explains why the Flathead Valley so far has escaped serious fires. Fire officials announced today that a Stage 1 fire restriction will go into effect Thursday for 7 counties and 2 national forests in western Montana. This means campfires and in undesignated sites are prohibited in state and federal lands, and smoking isn't allowed outside a vehicle, building, or anywhere near flammable materials. The outbreak of several dozen fires this week in remote areas in near populated areas has prompted them to issue the restriction in the Bitterroot and Lolo National Forest, the Flathead Indian Reservation, as well as the following counties: Mineral, Missoula, Ravalli, and Sanders County. The Sanders County restriction only applies to areas south of the Kootenai National Forest. Fire Preservation Director Chris Johnson says there's been nearly 200 fires so far this year, and humans started almost 70 of those fires, most from debris burning in the spring.
But this time of year, one of the major causes is unattended campfires and or smoking, people not careful with their cigarette butt, and then various other miscellaneous human causes. So over the years in the Northern Rockies, we've developed Stage 1 restrictions. Typically, campfires rank usually in the top 2 causes each year, right behind outdoor burning.
The restriction also applies to designated open spaces and conservation land in the city of Missoula. Officials announced earlier today that the Colorado Gulch Fire, located just northwest of Missoula in the Grant Creek Valley, has been contained by fire crews. But Fire Preservation Director Chris Johnson says there's one single fire leads to these types of restrictions.
This is something that we look at seasonally. We look at it every year. Fire in Colorado Gulch and Grant Creek last night is undetermined as to the cause. I don't know if it was human caused or a lightning holdover. The real issue is anyone who can see these fires start within the first 10 minutes, they're starting to make runs and they're starting to get into the canopy and they're starting to group torch trees. That simply means that fire season has come upon us. Firefighters are already busy with lightning strikes. They don't need to be more busy with human caused fires.
Johnson says campfires are still allowed in designated metal campfire rings at developed sites as well as wilderness areas. Fire restrictions do not apply to personal property within city limits. The largest group of fire activity is still burning in western Montana in the Thompson River Complex, the group of 4 fires located above Highway 200 near Thompson Falls. A series of lightning strikes ignited the fire on August 1st. The rocky terrain and steep hillsides initially prevented ground crews from approaching the fire directly. The Public Information Officer John Hamilton says crews finished building helispots today, which allowed helicopters to land near the fires with loaded troop firefighters.
Well, it gives us the opportunity to get a secure line around it. And basically what we're trying to do with the Cuckoo Scent Fires 1 and 2, we're trying to keep them on the ridge out of the Thompson River drainage and more on the Clark Fork Riverside.
Hamilton says they've continued to fly 142 firefighters to spots that would otherwise extremely difficult to reach on foot.
When you have helicopters dropping water, if you don't have somebody down on the ground to make sure that the water is being effective and that you can maybe construct some line or something once the fire's cooled off on the edge, that's what that buys you. And when we have the hand crews on the ground, they can secure the line, make sure it's not going any farther from that point.
Hamilton says the fire is 0% contained at this point, but expects the additional ground support will change that very quickly. Officials have closed 2 trails in that area. The Cuckoo Scent Trail and the Big Spruce Trail are currently closed to hikers. Lightning storms have kindled several fires in the greater Flathead area, but rain coming with those storms has kept fire danger in check. Katrin Fry reports drier conditions in the forecast have land managers asking public to step up vigilance when it comes to fire.
The greater Flathead area has seen some fire activity. Information Officer Wade Muehlhoff for the Northwest Zone for Fire Restrictions says most activity has centered on the North Fork of the Flathead River.
For whatever reason, the North Fork seems to have dried out a little bit quicker than the rest of our area. We called that the Hay Creek Complex, and it was managed by a Type 3 fire team. They did a real great job on getting on top of all those fires. They were all managed for suppression. And right now they're all contained and they're in the mop-up phase.
Muehlhoff says the complex included 10 fires and management has now shifted back to the Ranger District.
And their job will be really to keep an eye on the area and make sure that we don't have anything kind of pop up, what they call holdovers, where a tree or some ground had been struck by lightning. It didn't spark a fire, but there's still embers smoldering. And then when you have a period of dry heat like we're anticipating, sometimes then those come to life.
That anticipated dry heat in the forecast is what is causing concern among land managers in the area.
We've been very fortunate with the weather pattern that while it has brought us a fair amount of lightning, it's also come with a fair amount of rain here the last few weeks. So we are fairly green, but again, going into a period where we could dry out, and those conditions could change.
Muehlhoff says managers from Glacier National Park, Lake, Flathead and Sanders counties, Fish, Wildlife and Parks, Kootenai and Flathead National Forests, and the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation have started meeting weekly to look at the forecast and conditions to determine fire danger. This area is not seeing any restrictions yet.
It's really going to be important for people to stay vigilant with their campfires, with their cigarettes, with things that could be dragging from vehicles and causing sparks. This is the time of year that we really ask everybody to step up that vigilance and make sure that if we are fighting wildfires, they're because nature started them and not because we started them.
Muehlhoff says it's a different situation south of the Flathead and into the Missoula area, where land managers will be looking at fire restrictions in the next week. He also says this is a good time to talk about preventing human-caused wildfires, as Friday the 8th marks Smokey the Bear's 70th birthday. Katrin Fry reporting from the Flathead.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says the U.S. Forest Service will soon have to tap into programs designed to prevent wildfires so that it can meet the expenses for fighting blazes this summer. Vilsack says about $400 million to $500 million in forestry projects will have to be put on hold in what he has become a routine exercise. He predicted that the money set aside strictly for firefighting will run out by the end of August. Some 30 large fires are working their way through federal and state forests in California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. With lawmakers back home for the August recess and public's attention focused on those efforts, Vilsack is lobbying for administration's request for an additional $615 million to fight wildfires this fiscal year and next. In other news from around the state, state officials say a photo of Montana Attorney General Tim Fox was used in an online dating scam that cost an Indian woman $150,000. Fox's spokesman John Barnes says a photo of Fox, likely taken from Facebook, was used to create a fake profile on a dating website. Barnes spoke to the victim, who said the perpetrator started a long-distance relationship with her and asked for money over time. She eventually went to police, but by then she had already sent nearly $150,000. No arrests have been made. Barnes says Fox is upset that his image was used, noting that the perpetrator chose someone who oversees consumer protection and warns citizens of scams. The image of Fox has been removed from Facebook. Law enforcement officials are investigating. Republican Bruce Rohner has traveled to his family ranch in Montana to vacation and raise money for his Illinois governor campaign. The fundraiser was scheduled for today at Rohner's 6,000-square-foot home near Yellowstone National Park. Tickets range from $500 to $5,000 per person. Democratic Governor Pat Quinn's campaign criticized Rohner for taking the trip, saying the multimillionaire venture capitalist is trying to avoid questions about investments he put in the Cayman Islands, a territory considered a tax haven. Rohner discussed this issue Sunday. He told reporters that business practice didn't impact his personal tax rate and that he disclosed the necessary information to the U.S. government. Campaign spokesman Mike Scrimf says Rohner family typically vacations in Montana in August. Rohner left Illinois yesterday and returns Thursday. Kalispell Regional Medical Center's emergency department was built in the mid-1970s, expanded last in 1991, and now officials say it is in desperate need of a $14 million renovation. Kalispell Regional Healthcare Foundation President Tagen Vine says the emergency department records about 23,000 patient visits annually. Vine says KRMC's emergency room was built in 1976 and designated to handle 9,000 annual patient visits. The 1991 reservation expanded the capacity to 13,000 patients. Projections are calling for 15% growth over the next 3 to 4 years, amounts to roughly 28,000 patient visits.
It's population growth, it's aging of that population, it's part-time residents in the summertime, as well as all of the visitors who come here. I think last year Glacier Park had 2.2 million visitors. And that was just the folks who got into the park. So other folks who've come here and just done Whitefish or Flathead Lake and some of those things. So we see a lot of summer activity, and of course the skiing and snowmobiling activity in the winter as well really peaks.
Vine says the emergency department's growing pains are acute and growing worse all the time.
We have two trauma rooms that have two beds in each that only have a curtain separating the two. So there's really a privacy and a space issue for caregivers all the way around. Like if you have a traumatic car accident, you've got everything from head injuries to broken ankles. You've got caregivers from the top of your head all the way down to your toes, all the way around the bed. And some of those spaces are just too tight to have room for caregivers and family members in one exam room or one trauma room. The other ones are detox. So meth, heroin, bath salts, alcohol poisoning, you know, 0.5, 0.55 blood alcohol levels. Those folks need to come to the emergency room in a detox room to come down off of whatever they're on before they can be transferred over to the pathways, chemical dependency and behavioral health.
Vine adds psychiatric patients and people requiring sexual assault treatment and evaluations need unique services and spaces as well.
So our goal is to raise $14 million to be able to expand our emergency room into the space that was vacated when we moved our operating rooms and same-day surgery into the new surgical tower. So by doing that first, now we have 20 to 25,000 square feet right on the other side of a wall from what the emergency room is that we can go in and renovate existing space, saving the emergency room project about $10 million by being able to renovate instead of having to build new structure. So we should be able to go from about 8,100 square feet of the current emergency department to 34,000 square feet.
A significant amount of money would be required for a renovation emergency department at Kalispell Regional Medical Center.
We started with our employees, our physicians and medical staff, our boards of both the hospital and the foundation, and our KRMC volunteers, and those folks put up $5.4 million first. And then we started going to individuals in the community that were close friends of the hospital and asking them for significant investments, which has got us now to the $8 million mark. So we've raised $8 million of the $14 million we need to do this right so that we can serve this region for the next 20 years with this emergency room. And we're just hoping the community will make the investment of $6 million into the future of emergency care for our region.
Vine says every donation helps, but adds it will take significant donations from individuals and grants to fund such an ambitious project. For more information, visit kalispellregion.org or call 406-751-6930. Missoula County officials have released the name of a 32-year-old Florence woman who died in a single-vehicle rollover crash on Interstate 90 near Alberton. Sheriff spokesman Paige Pavallone tells the Missoulian that Krista Chandler died of blunt force injuries suffered in a crash about 2 a.m. yesterday. The Montana Highway Patrol says Chandler was eastbound when the sport utility vehicle she was driving went off the left side of the road. She overcorrected, making back toward the roadway, then overcorrected again toward the median. The SUV rolled several times. Several others were thrown from the SUV. The patrol says the crash injured an 11-year-old girl, two 12-year-old boys, and boys ages 10, 2, and 3 months, with a 36-year-old woman being injured and a 36-year-old man from Clinton. The forecast for our listening area tonight calls for isolated showers and thunderstorms with lows in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow you can expect partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s to lower 90s. Tomorrow you can expect mostly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. Now for the editorial comments of Pat Williams.
These are the months when many thousands of visitors come to stand and stare and play here in Montana. Montanans understand that we have something special here in our land forms and waterways, our great herds and last best critters such as the grizzly, buffalo, bald eagle, and of course our native fish. We recognize the livability of our towns and cities, and understand the uniqueness and importance of the Indian tribes that for many centuries have called this place home. Taking visitors to Montana to an Indian powwow is spectacular. And yes, we know that in this country the sky does seem bigger, but truthfully, we don't know why. Perhaps it is the contrast of the special blue above the horizon and the startling variety below. Whatever the reason, we who live here are glad that our visitors also recognize the grandeur of this place. Originally, we called Montana the Treasure State. Later, one of our renowned writers, A.B. Guthrie, coined the phrase Big Sky Country. Although both of those monikers have stuck, we now seem to prefer the last best place, also given to us by an author, Bill Kittredge. Our state's two centuries of change have thus taken us from the Treasure State with its connotation of the natural riches of oil, gas, gold, timber, and of course, King Copper, to a different consideration and economy that is best labeled last best place. We are determined now to preserve the best of our remaining natural heritage through more careful and selective production. And we are at work restoring and revitalizing those pieces of our land and water that still show the abuses of yesterday's economy. A few years ago, I authored a book about Montana's beauty and colors, its sights and sounds. Predictably, we named it Montana. I collaborated on that coffee table book with a wonderful Montana photographer, Salvatore Vasipoli. I want to paraphrase now from some of what I wrote about how Montana's visitors see this place. Visitors are always eager to talk about their travels in Montana. Our national parks, Glacier and Yellowstone, enthrall them. The state's hunting and fishing opportunities for fall visitors are unlike anywhere else. People recount being mesmerized by a setting sun casting its crimson glow across the big sky. To many, the mountaintops seem unapproachably beautiful, while the lower Big Shoulder ranges beckon them to climb and romp on the pine-shadowed slopes. It may be that latitude affects attitude, but the friendliness of Montana is more likely the product of our population. There is virtually no anonymity here, certainly not in our smaller cities, and a warm hello is not only good manners, but is, in fact, obligatory. So, if you are a visitor listening to this public radio station, be certain that we Montanans welcome you. We are very glad you're here. We want you to enjoy yourself, and please return and visit again at our public radio microphone. I have my grandson, Aiden, who comes up to Montana every August from the Bay Area down near San Francisco. I'm going to ask Aiden to say something here. Aiden, you're always coming to Montana with your parents and your brother. What brings you here so often?
My brother, Keelan, and I love it here. Montana is like our second home.
All right. All right. Well, your grandma and I wish it was your first home, and we love seeing you here, as we do all the visitors from Montana. This is Pat Williams with Aiden, wishing you a very good summer and thanking you for listening to Montana Public Radio.
Pat Williams is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Corin Cates Carney. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.